Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now in Masechet Shavuot, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet. This will be the final podcast of our study of the seventh Perek of Masechet Shavuot. And again, we have to go back to the Mishnayot and take a look at the fifth and final item on our list of those who are Nishba V'Notel, and that is Chenvani Al Pinkaso, Mishnah Hei. So you can look back in the Mishnayot to the beginning of the Perek, or far more advisable to open up a Mishnayot to Perek Zion, Mishnah Hei. How does that work? A storekeeper with his ledger, what are we talking about? Not that he comes along and he says, I wrote down here that you're chayav this amount of money, you have to pay me. Ella amar lo ten livni satayim chitin, or ten lepoal libesala ma'ot. If a fellow says, a homeowner says to the storekeeper, give my son a certain amount of wheat, or give my worker a certain amount of money, now, hu omer natati, the storekeeper says, I gave it, which means you owe me the money. V'hen omer lo natalnu, and they say, we didn't get it, which means they're still owed their salary, let's say. Hu nishba v'notel, the chenvani takes an oath from the balabayit and collects. V'hen nishba v'notlin. And they take an oath and collect, and we know here that somebody's lying. So therefore, Amar ben Nana, Shimon ben Nana says, Ketzad elu bayin l'day shvuot shav. Why do we want to generate a situation where there is certainly a false oath? Somebody, either the guy paid it and the workers are lying, or the guy didn't pay it and he's lying. Shvuot shav, elu bayin l'day shvuot shav. How do you want to have, why do you want a situation like that? Elhu notel shlo b'shvuah, v'hen notlin shlo b'shvuah. They both collect without an oath, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Now, let's pick it up in the Gemara, and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet. Chenvani Al Pinkaso, Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Torach Shvua Zulama. Now, we're not exactly sure what Rebbe was asking, but what he meant was, why are we doing all these Shvuot, or why the trouble is the Shvuah? Rashi could suggest that maybe Rebbe was saying, have one guy take the Shvuah and the other guy take without a Shvuah. Amar le Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia, his prized Talmud, said, Tanina, Shnei Nishpayin Notlin Mi Balabayit. The idea is they're taking the Shvuah to look at the Balabayit and say, I swear I paid, I swear I never got, so that he at least will feel some level of comfort that he's not being ripped off. Now, Kiva Minei or Lo Kiva Minei, did Rabbi accept this explanation and therefore support the Mishnah or not? Toshma, we'll see, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Poalin Nishpayin Lachenvani. He seems to present something very different than our Mishnah, which is the workers have to take the oath to the Chenvani that they didn't get paid, and then the Chenvani has to give them the food. But the Balabayit seems to be out of the picture and does not have to double pay. That's the real issue. Vimita, if Rebbe really accepted Rabbi Chia's explanation, the Balabayit Mibayile, it should be that they take an oath to the Balabayit, not to the Chenvani. So, Marava Poalim Nishpa'in the Balabayit, but Mamad Chenvani. What it means is that the Poalim take an oath not to the Chenvani. They take an oath to the Balabayit, but what Rebbe was adding is they have to do it in front of the Chenvani. Because if they really did get paid, it'll be harder for them to lie about it if the Chenvani is there. So they should be embarrassed, they'll admit that they got it. And then we may want to add that then the Poalim have to turn around. Sorry, the Chenvani then has to take an oath to the Balabayit in the presence of the Poalim, and somewhere it should shake down. Okay, so now we have a parallel and a very interesting discussion. Itmar. You have two groups of witnesses, and they testify, and the testimonies just are absolutely contradictory. One guy says this guy killed somebody, the other guy says no, he didn't. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Zu ba bifnei atzma umida, Zu ba bifnei atzma umida. Now we know in the particular testimony about that guy killing somebody, we can't accept either testimony. They contradict each other. Question is, have they now been invalidated as witnesses? Rav Huna says, no. Let them just do further testimonies independently, and we can accept them. Chista Mar Bahadi Sadi Shakri Lamali says, what do I need these Edei Sheker for? Meaning he says they are Edei Sheker, which now leads to the following problem that devolves out into four cases, which is what happens when these two sets of Edim, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon on one side, and Dan and Naphtali on the other side, who contradicted each other earlier, and Rav Chista regards them as Edei Sheker, Rav Huna says, they're kosher Edim, just that particular testimony won't work. What will happen when there's a quasi-conflict? So let's see. Case 1. Shnei Malvin u Shnei Lovin. So you have two different loans independent of each other, Ushnei Shtarot, and each one is obviously in a separate shtar, and Reuven and Shimon are the witnesses on one shtar, and Dan and Naphtali on the other shtar. So are the loans collectible? The answer is Hainu Plutayu. That's exactly our machloket, Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Rav Huna said, sure, they're collectible. They don't run against each other at all. Chista said, these guys are all liars, meaning chashash liars. Okay, that's easy. Malva Velova Ushnei Shtarot. Let's say that there's one lender, one borrower, and two different shtarot. What do you have? Well, what we all will agree to here is that their one shtar is valid, one shtar is invalid. We just don't know which one. So we say, Yad Bala Shtar La Tachtona, the guy who's holding the shtar has the lower hand, which means he can only collect the lesser amount. Okay. Shnei Malvin Velove Echad. Let's say there's two different lenders, one borrower, Ushnei Shtarot. In other words, A has a shtar that says Z lent borrowed money from him, and B has a shtar with not enough Tali on it that says Z borrowed money from him. What do you do? Hainu Matnitin. That's exactly our Mishnah, which is why this is here, in which A comes to Z and takes an oath and collects, and B comes to Z and takes an oath and collects. How about this? Shnei Lovin Umalve Echad. Let's say you have two borrowers from one lender. A lent money to Z and A lent money to Y. That's the star says. Ushnei Shtarot. On the first star, Reuven and Shimon are signed, and on the second star, Dan and Naphtali are signed. My. Meaning, here's the problem. If we say that you can't collect either, then that means that certainly one of these loans is collectible, and the Lova is getting not being paid, and the Malva is not going to get his money. On the other hand, if you say that both are collected, then that means some guy who shouldn't have to pay is paying. So what's this deal? Teiku. That's it. We don't have a solution. Meiti Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. He challenges this. Echad Omer Gavua Shtei Mir Da'ot. One witness says the moon was high, two cattle prods high on the radiant. Echad Omer Shalosh. The other guy says it was three. Edutan Kayemet. We say that's a margin of error that's acceptable, and we accept their testimony. Chadomer Gimel, Chadomer Chamesh, but if one says it was three high and one says it was five high, Edutan Betela, that's too much of a discrepancy. Their testimony doesn't work. Mitzarfin LeEdut Acheret, but they can join for another Edut. Meaning, it sounds like exactly Rav Huna, which says, even though we've got these witnesses in contradiction and cannot accept their testimony as is, they can join another group for testimony. My love LeEdut Mamon. No, Amarava Huva Chermit Stafin LeEdut Acheret Shorosh Chodesh. What it means is, if another guy comes along and says it was three high, then the three high guy can join this new witness and testify. Tavalei Trei V'Chad, because now two guys saying three against one guy saying one. And the one guy's testimony is out, and the two is confirmed. So it doesn't mean that they're valid or invalid for other testimony. It's talking about this testimony itself. Okay, we now move on in the Mishnah, so go back to the Mishnayot and look at Mishnah Vav. We're away now from the case of Nishpa v'Notel, and we're talking directly about a case with a storekeeper, and the second version of this, a money changer, and the purchaser, the client. Amar lechen v'aniten li b'dinar perot. If you said to a storekeeper, give me a dinar's worth of bananas. Venatano, when he gave it to him, Amarlo tainli et dinar, and the storekeeper said, give me the money, Amarlo tativ lecha. And he said, and the guy said, I paid you, unetato ba'unpalin, you put it in the till. He tells him where he put it. Yishava balabayit, and the balabayit is take a shvua to that effect, and he doesn't have to pay. Natano et dinar, let's flip it. Let's say he paid him and didn't yet get, that's his claim, he didn't get the fruit. Amarlo tainli et perot, he said, pay, give me the fruit. Amarlo netatim lach volachtan letoch beitcha. You already gave him to you and you already took him home. Yishava chenvani. Then the chenvani takes the oath that the fellow already got the fruit and we're done. Now Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, kol shapirot biyado, yado aliyona. If you're holding the fruit, then you're in the better position and you don't have to take the oath. Okay? So that would mean that in the first case, in the second case, the chenvani is yado aliyona, and in the first case, the chenvani is also yado aliyona. Perhaps. (Clears throat) And indeed, Rabbi Yehuda's comment is really a comment on the Reisha, on the first case, where he says the Baal HaBayit does not need to take an oath that he already paid, but rather he's believed because Kol Shel Peirot Bidoy Yado Elyona, and the notion is that there's no way that the storekeeper would have given him the fruit without getting paid. Okay, now we have a parallel case. Amar l'shulchani, if he said to a money changer, Tain li b'dinar ma'ot, give me a dinar's worth of coins, v'natan lo, and he gave him. Amar lo tain li t'dinar, he said, give me my dinar. Amar lo tativ lachem, tato bo'un pali. You gave it and you put it in the till. Yishava balabait, same thing. Natan lo t'dinar, amar lo tain li t'ma'ot, amar lo tativ lacha, v'shlachtam l'toch kischa. And the flip case, if he said, if he gave him the dinar and he said, where's my coins? He said, you already took them, put them in your pouch. Yishava shulchani. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain dar shulchan in teni sar achitol dinar. The shulchani is not going to give his money until he gets, he's not going to give out the coins until he gets his dinar. Which means that the Baal HaBayit does not have to take an oath and he can collect the coins, because he for certainly paid. Or the Baal HaBayit, sorry, is certainly exempt from paying and does not need to take an oath. Okay, now let's take a look at the Gemara on Daf Mem Chet Amud Aleph. Amar lechen vani, ten li bedinar peirot. Good. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, ematai. When do we have this entire rule that that you have to take an oath about the peirot? Bizman sha peirot tsvurin. If the peirot are sitting there on the table, they're tied up, and they're disagreeing about whether he paid already. But if he already reached over and put the peirot into his basket, then the chedvani has to prove his point. Otherwise, the Baal HaBayit owes nothing. Amar l'shulchani, tainli, okay, it's tzricha. Now, why do we need both cases? The iashwin and hakamaita, if we only have the first case, with the chenvani, pahach kami rabbanan, I would think that's where the rabbanan say that the Baal HaBayit is like a shvua. Should a pair of avidin merkavi, sometimes perot are going to go bad. Can merkavi lo mashule? Therefore, the storekeeper wants to push them to the Baal HaBayit quickly before they go bad, and would possibly do that without getting the money. Maot lo merkavi, with money, that's not the case. And therefore, a modi le Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they agree with Rabbi Yehuda that the shulchani will never give over the coins till he got his money, and therefore the Baal HaBayit doesn't have to take a shvua. Beit mar baha, and now just flip it. If we only have the shulchani, baha kam Rabbi Yehuda, I would think Rabbi Yehuda only set his position there. Pach e modi le Rabbanan, but in the case of the chenvani, because of the consideration of rotting fruit, he might agree with the Rabbanan. So therefore, tzricha, therefore we needed both. Okay, now, let's go further on back to the Mishnayot, and Mishnah Zion. Kashem shamru apogemek tubata lo tipar el vishvua. We have the Mishnah in Ketubot that says that if a woman is pogemek tubata, which means she already collected part, now she's coming to collect the rest, she needs to take a shvua as to how much she collected. Ve'ed achad mida she pura lo pura lo shvua. Also, if one witness testifies that it was paid, she has to take an oath. Minachasim eshua badim nechsei tomi lo tipar el vishvua. If you want to collect anything from nechasim eshua badim, or from Nichsei Yitomim, from heirs, you have to take a Shvua. Vanifrat, Shalom B'fanav, Lo Tipar Alev Shvua. Also, if a woman wants to collect the Ketubah in the absence of her ex-husband, she has to take a Shvua. V'chein HaYitomim, Lo Yiparu Alev Shvua. Heirs cannot collect without a Shvua, and we already established that's heirs from heirs. Now, Shvua, Shalom P'kadanu Abba, what kind of oath can they take? They can only say, take an oath that father never told us about it, never ordered us to pay. Or v'lo amar lanu abba, or father never told us that it was paid. V'shalom atzinu v'shtar otav, shalom v'shtar zeparua. We never found a document in father's document saying that this was paid up. We found a document that says you owe us money. V'yochan bruko mer afilu nolada ben lachar mitata av. Even if the son was born after father died, harezen ishpa v'notel, he could take the oath and collect. V'shamigam liyal, v'yesh edim shamar av v'shat mitato shtar zeno parua, v'tel shalom v'shvua. If there are witnesses that father on his deathbed said, that this debt was never paid, then they can collect even without a shvua. Okay, now back to the Gemara on Daf Mem Chet Amud Aleph. Kashem Shom Begum to Atavachin, Tomim, etc. I mean, man. And this we already saw. The Yatomim have to collect from the Lova with a Shvua. Avon Shakabul Shvua, Avinu Vishvua. Their father collected, could collect without a Shvua. Why would they need a Shvua? Hachikamar, this is what it means. Vachin Tomim, Min Hayitomim Loi Paral Vishvua. We already saw this. Heirs from heirs. That's only if the Malva died first. And then the Lova would have had to pay to his heirs, and they wouldn't take a Shvuah. If the Lova died first, that the Malva already was liable to take an oath, so when he died, when he died, that money that he could collect via Shvuah cannot now go to his kids. So they can't collect it all. Now, Shachua Kamei to Rabbi Lazari. From Bavel, they sent a message to Rabbi Lazari in Tveria, asking what he thought about Rav and Shmuel's ruling. Shvua Zumativa, what do you do with the Shvua? Shalachlu, he said, Yorshin Nishpa'in Shvuat Yorshin V'notlim. They take a Shvuat Yorshin. What's a Shvuat Yorshin? Like we saw in the Mishnah. All we know is father never told us who was paid. We collect, which means, against Rav and Shmuel, they collect regardless of who died first. Now, Shachob me Rebbe Ami. Then in Rebbe Ami's period, they sent the same message. Will you keep sending the message? If we can find a better explanation, we'll certainly send it to you. In the meantime, we don't know. Somebody said, as long as you raise the issue, we'll comment on this Shvuah. Amad bedin umet. Meaning, if the Malva was alive, if the Lova was alive and then he died, then Kfarni Tchayev Malvel, Ivne Loveshvuat. The Malva was already liable. If the Lova died first and then the Malva came to Din, he was already liable for Shvuah. If he then died before collection, then Ve'en Adam Mori Shvuah Levanav. So Rabbi Ami took the same idea that Rav and Shvuah had, but they shifted it from the death of the Lova to the point of Hamad Bedin. Lo Hamad Bedin Umeit, but let's say he never got to court and the Malva died. Yorshin Ishbain Shvuat Yorshim Atlim. Then they take a Shvuat Yorshim. So why the father never told us who was paid, etc. And they collect. So it's kind of like Rav and Shmuel, but putting at a different point. Matkif Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman challenged this. And he said, Atu Beidina Kamachaybi Le Shvuat. Does the Beitin generate the Shvuat? From the minute that the Lova dies, that's when the Shvuah kicks in. So your border, your threshold is just a wrong place. So Nachman said, if you accept Rav and Shmuel's principle, you got accepted the way they presented it. But if not. So Al Masafko, it sounds like Nachman's not sure if we should accept Rav and Shmuel's principle. Which is odd, because Rav Yosef Amen, you remember Rav Nachman Uvda, Rav Nachman himself paskened Yachloku, which means Rav Nachman ruled that the proper read of the Mishnah is that Rav Yossi said Yachloku, as opposed to Rav Meir who said Chazra Shvualim Koma, which means that he doesn't accept any of this principle. When you've got a standoff between Shvuot, you just split the money, and you don't have this problem of somebody who can't take a Shvuah. And therefore the money stands still. So why is he saying either you accept Rav Shmuel the way it is or you don't? The answer is Rav Dor Meir Kamar. What he was saying was, if you pass on Rav Meir, which of course is not possible, I think what it really means is, if you accept the other version of the Mishnah, where Rav Yossi said Chazra Shmuel and Koma, then either accept Rav and Shmuel or don't. For Leilo Sfira Leber, Rav Nachman says, none of this starts for me. Now, Meiti Rav Oshai, he challenged him. Meita. And then he's challenging the principle that Ein Adam Mori Shvuah Livno, that a person cannot bequeath the rights to collect money via Shvuah to his son. Meita, this is if an Almona, she was an Almona, and then she died, for 25 years, her heirs have the right to come and claim the Ketubah. After that, they give up the rights. So that means that her heirs could take the Shvuah that she would have had to take. Because she would have had to take a Shvuah to collect. They could take that Shvuah and collect. So it must be a case where she already took the oath, and she died, and now they just have the rights to collect the Mamon. They don't have to take a Shvuah. Toshma nasa rishona umeita. Let's say a man married a woman. She'd predeceased him. Nasa shnia umeitu. And he married a second woman, and he died. Shnia v'yosheha kodmin liyoshe rishona. The second wife and her heirs, which means if she dies, her heirs, are first in line to collect from the estate, which means, by the way, that her heirs could take a shvu and collect. Must be a case where the woman took the oath and then died, and then her heirs can come collect. Toshma. Now, this is that belabored scaffolding case in Ketubot Perek Tet, where a person distances himself from his wife's estate by saying, "Dino dvarim ein li ben achasayich, u menechsein achasayich, v'chayayich, u lachar mita," and he throws in yorshim, and it continues to build up there, and so he doesn't have a claim on anything she owns, nor does do his yorshim have it. The biggest case is that he says, and I won't have a claim on you or your yorshim, etc. Aval yorsha mashpinota vet yorsheha v'tabayin bershuta. If he didn't cut out his own heirs, then his heirs can come and make the woman who the father died, make the widow take an oath as to what she did or didn't take from the estate, or her heirs, or anybody who stands in for a property. So you see that they could take that oath. So Shvayelit Stading Tani, that's a distributive brayta. Ota be almana, meaning she could take the oath. Sorry, they can make her take an oath if she's alive. Or if she was a grusha, then her heirs, because then it's but at no point do we have that the heirs of an almana can come take that oath. Okay, Natan Barashaya, Yafek koach haben mikoach haav, said the son is more powerful than the father. Shaben goveh ben mishvua ben bishlo bishvua, a son could collect sometimes with a shvua, sometimes without. What's this talking about? Hechidami. If the lova died, the borrower died while the lender was alive, that the son can collect with an oath or without an oath. Let's see how that works. Bishvua, he can collect with an oath. Shvuat yorshim, which means he can come and say, father never said that this thing was paid. Shelo bishvua, k'mishum gamliel. Moshe Gamliel said, if there are edim that at the bedside father said it was not paid up, then he could collect without a shvua. So you see that a person can be more isha shvua. Yosef Hamani Beit Shammai, yeah, that's Beit Shammai. Dama Amri, it's a sugi and sota, a shtar, may the gvod kegavoy dami. A shtar that's about to be collected is as if it's already collected, and therefore it's really Mammon that's being passed on, not a shvua. Okay. Ikar of Nachman the Surah. Rav Nachman came to Surah. Ula Gaver of Chista of Rabba Bar of Huna. So these two colleagues of his came to him. Amrulei Leite Mar Nakre Lahad Rav Shmuel. Let's overrule and outrule Rav and Shmuel's ruling here. We don't like it. The idea that Enam Dam Moshe Shmuel Levana. Amar Lo Ichpali Vatoi Kohani Parsoi. I came this whole distance to Miakra Lahad Rav Shmuel just for that reason. Ella, meaning he wasn't willing to do it, because he was a Talmid Muvak of Shmuel. He wasn't willing to do it, even though he disagreed. Let's do this. Let's at least limit it so it doesn't expand. Gonmai, what's an example of a case that it might expand to? Papa said that if a guy says part of the shtar was paid up, and before he collects the rest he dies, his heirs could take an oath of Shvuat HaYorshim, father never told us that it was paid, and they can collect, and we won't limit it. We won't cut them out. Okay, Ahuda Shachim Shavak Arva. There was a guy who died and left a cosigner. And what happened was that then the Malva died. So the Yorshim came after the Arev. So Papa Lememra Hanami to Lolosi Falahu. This is also a case where we should not expand, that we should allow him to take the oath and collect from the Arev. Ravuna Rav Yeshua, the Papa, so his friend told him, Atu Arva La Bata Yatmi Azil, who do you think the Arev is going to go after? After he pays, he's going to come back to the heirs of the Lova for collection, which means this is really Yatomim Mina Yatomim. This is really the original case of Rav and Shmuel. Hauda Shachim Shavak Acha, guy died and left a brother. Not kids, but a brother. Samaram Rachama Lamemar, Samaram Rachama thought, you know what? Anamid Lolosif Allahu. Maybe this one we should also not expand and allow the brother to take an oath and collect. Amrali Rava, Mali Shalop Kadani Abba, Mali Shalop Kadani Achi. What's the difference? If the heirs are taking an oath that father never told us, or he's taking an oath brother never told me. It's the same thing. Now that we don't have a final psak between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, that Shvuat Yorshim is not good enough, and Rabbi Elazar says it is, Haydayonet David Karav Shmuel Avad. If a judge paskins like Rav and Shmuel, that's good. David Karav Elazar Avad, or like Rabbi Elazar, it's good. Papa Haystara Diyatmi. If you have a shtar of Yatomim, Lo Mikra Karinan Lei, we don't tear it up because we might roll like Rabbi Elazar, and some Beit Din might come along and use it. Lagvoy Magbinan Mei, we can't collect with it because of Rav and Shmuel. So Ahud Ayana, there was a judge, the Avad Karav Elazar, he paskened like Karav Elazar in practice. Havetzur Rabbanan Bimate, there was another Talmid Chacham in town. I have a letter from Eretz Yisrael, delayed Hechata Karav Elazar, that even there they don't paskin like Karav Elazar. Amalei Lechitaiti, he said, oh, bring it. In the meantime, till you bring it, I'm standing by my ruling. He came to Rav Chama to complain. We already ruled that if you pass on the Karav Elazar, that's also valid, and therefore it sticks. Okay, please turn now back to the Mishnayot and look at the last Mishnah on the Perek. The following take an oath without a claim. Very bizarre. And our Mishnah is talking about, our Perek was first talking about those who take an oath and collect. Now it's taking an oath without a claim. Hashutafin, partners, disagreement on partners. Ha'arisin, a sharecropper. Ha'apotropitin, a patropos is a trustee over an estate. If a woman is running the affairs of the household, like an almana, uven habayit, we'll see what that means, a member of the household who's running the household. Amarlo me ma'ata to'aneini. If a guy says, why are you claiming something from me? Ritzonisha tishavali. And the other guy says, because I want you to take an oath. Chayav, yes, take the oath. But let's say that the partners or the sharecropper arrangement was finished, was dissolved. Ein yachol ashbio. Then you can't force the oath anymore. But if, let's say, you had a shvua on your former partner, former sharecropper from some other legitimate place, then you can roll and bring in the shvua shutfin. Shvit, by the way, shmita cancels a shvua. Okay, now back to the Gemara on Daf Mem Chet Amud Bet near the bottom. Ve'elu nishpayin in the middle. Atu b'shuv tani askinen. What kind of fools are we dealing with to take an oath without a claim? What it means is these are people who take an oath even when the other claim against them is not a clear claim, but is a maybe claim. Hashutfin varisin, meaning that if a partner says, I'm not sure how much you took out of the estate, the guy has to take out of the partnership, the guy has to take an oath. Tana ben bayit, when they said ben bayit shamru, lo shnichas v'yotzei b'raglav, it doesn't mean somebody who's comfortable in the house comes in and out. Ala machis lo po'alin, motzi lo po'alin. It's a guy who hires workers for the house, takes the workers out. Machis lo peirod, motzi lo peirod. He brings food into the house, takes it out. He's a guy who's really running the estate without being officially an apotropos. U'mayshna hani, why these five people? Bishum demor b'heteru. These are all people who rationalize dipping into the till a little bit. I'm running the things for the household. Magi ali something, I deserve something. So when you remember Rav Nachman, v'ushiyesh tana b'nayu shtei kesef. There has to be a claim of at least shtei kesef between them, because this now enters into the world of shuata modav miktzat. Keman k'shmuel, so that sounds like we're going back to Shmuel's position, that the entire claim has to be shtei kesef. V'atani Rav Chiya l'siyu al Rav, but Rav Chiya already supported Rav's position, if you recall in our discussion in the seventh parak, in the sixth parak. So, Ema Kfiratana. Maybe what he meant to say was, there has to be a denial of Shtei Kesef Kerav. Okay, the last piece is Chaku Ashut Afin Varisin Ibayalu. Here's the question. Mahu Ligalgel B'Dirabanan. Can you use a Shvuah D'Rabanan to generate Gilgul? In other words, our case was, if a proper Shvuah, which we think is a Shvuah D'Oraita, comes along, it can drag the Shvuah Shutfin in. Can you use a D'Rabanan to drag it in? Toshma. Lavai Menu Ereshviyit. If a guy borrowed money, Erev Shemitah. So Shemitah cancels the loan. Ulmotzei Shvit, Nasalo Shutaf, or Aris, and then you, after Shemitah, you developed a partnership or sharecropper relationship with the same guy. Ein Megalgalin. You can't then roll in a Shvua about the loan. Why? Because the loan was canceled. Tama Delava Imenu Erev Shvit. Ta'acha Shvit, Afkate. The Shemitah came and canceled the loan. There's nothing to discuss. Ha Shar Shnei Shavua Megalgalin. So that means in any other years in Shemitah, you could do it. So, lo te ma'ashar shnei shvua megalgalin, don't make that diyuk. Read it like this. If you became a partner, Erev Shvita, and cancel the partnership, has to happen. Ulamotse Shvita, Lavaimeno, and after Shvita, you borrowed money from him, then Megalgalim. That's the diyuk. Now, Habahedyak Tani La, that we have an explicit teaching. Nasalo Shutaf Aris Erev Shvit, Say Shvit Lavaimeno, Megalgalim. So Shmamina, Megalgalim, Drabonin, Shmamina. So you see that you can use a shvua de Rabbanan to be Megalgel, this other shvua. In other words, that if you, that you can be Megalgel a shvua de Rabbanan. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, Lakol Megalgalin, Chutz Misachir Shein Megalgalin. You can be Megalgel any shvua, except for one shvua you can't roll in. That's the shvua Tasachir, who says, I didn't get paid. That one you can't roll in. Avchista Malakol Ein Mekilin, which is a flip version of the same thing. Which means we don't block out a shvua. Chutz Misachir. Sachir is the only one we block out. So my benayu, how do they disagree? He give an ayu lifto achlo. In Rav Chista's version, we don't introduce the idea, we just don't block it. In Rav Huna's version, we actually introduce it and say, you want to throw in the other shvua. But which shvuot are affected, they agree. Vashvit mishametet, minhanimili, how do you know shmita cancels a shvua? Amarav gidol amarav, damakra, vizet divara shmita, afilu dibur mishametet. Shmita even cancels words. And which words are those? The words of the shvua. Hadran alach kol anishpain. We've completed our study of the seventh parak of Masechet Shvuot. Now, Emir Tzashem, we will have one podcast left in which we will study the eighth final parak of Masechet Shvuot, which is less than a daf. And in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.